Thank you all for joining. This is another installment, brief installment nonetheless, of the Serve Boss, the Spirit of Business podcast by Serve Boss. My name is Reese Roberts, and I'm hosting a quick learning session with you guys today because it's extremely important for us to learn the certain principles that are around privatization and what it means under the law for us to be exercising our private rights as natural beings on the planet. Now, it's really interesting to have this discussion when it comes to businesses, because here at Serve Boss, we want to teach businesses, especially small businesses, how to maintain a private administration so that they don't have to be sort of subject to federal regulations on their everyday governance and everyday administration. And so to do that, it's really a special conversation that needs to happen. And I want everybody to be on the same page about why we're having this discussion and what it's going to mean to us as individuals and what it will mean to us as small business owners. Okay. So I have you live right now on Facebook and on Instagram. So I'm excited that you guys are joining in. So let me actually share my screen with you, because we're going to be looking at the Serve Boss website to see just a couple of frequently asked questions that comes into effect most of the time when we have clients that are interested in privatization or status correction or a secured party or so these certain titles we call it. And they want to understand what it actually means, what it's going to look like for them as an individual. Okay. So we're just going to share. We're going to share this website with you so that you can see. This is the Serve Boss website. And I'm going to go to our frequently asked questions page because it's just important that we look at what is happening when we privatize and what it means to us as private people, as private citizens, and so forth. Okay. So it says here, is this legal? So one of the biggest questions that we get about the legality of our service is when it comes to us helping you with privatizing your income. As a former IRS agent, I have a special understanding of what it means to process to income tax and what it means to allow and disallow certain claims of income tax. I also have a specialized understanding of payroll tax because I used to work for one of the world's leading payroll services, which was automatic data processing. And while I was there, I was a payroll consultant, and I was able to see firsthand how income tax gets processed. So I want to just draw your attention to some of these questions and what lies beneath, because there's going to be a lot of questions about, is this legal? And I understand that question. So I want to address it just publicly for everyone to be able to follow along with your own reasoning. Okay. So the answer says, yes, we are a team of researchers with former IRS experience. We compile strategies that are completely developed directly from the Code of Federal Regulations, the Uniform Commercial Code, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the Department of Labor, penal codes, and state laws, etc. And we follow the law to the letter. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is because there is something that most people don't necessarily get a chance to get exposed to, which is called claims processing. Okay. When we're processing claims, we're structuring our information in a specific way so that we're following to the letter the citations of the law that are written in the code. We simply know how to research and how to find this information within the legal code and also how to interpret the information. So when we're going into these legal references and creating claims from them, that's basically all we're doing. So the question about legality, it should be a common sense question, because the only thing that we're using to create the claims that we're making is the law that governs the claim itself. because that's what claims processing is. You find something within the law that you'd like to stipulate, something you'd like to challenge, or something you want to question in any way, something you want to enforce. And then you write out that claim in such a way that it makes the point. Okay. When the point is made and you have legal references, the idea is to fully exhaust the administrative process. Okay. We have to exhaust the administrative process. And I want to say that a couple of times so that you get it in your head that there is a process that has to be followed also to the letter of the law when it comes to processing claims. When you have this information that's being presented to prove or disprove a concept, you simply want to state the claim and allow the code itself to either validate or invalidate your argument. This is a lot like what we do when we are debating or when we have attorneys who are presenting arguments when they present facts in a case. All right. So the next question is, can I really get rid of debt, legal issues, and taxes if I privatize? And the other question attached to that is how? How do you do these things? So the answer is yes. It often takes quite a bit of filing administrative documents to prepare you for a challenge of pre-existing conditions. So we're going to stop there for a second, because when you have a pre-existing condition and you want to get rid of the debt or the legal issue or the tax that's associated with it, you're going to have to basically create a retroactive claim. I finally got it. Once you have that retroactive claim, this information goes back in time to address things that were misunderstood, things that were not agreed to, or things that you were not consciously aware of, which in default would negate your claim or would negate the validity of whatever you're talking about. All right. So when you have these already pre-existing legal issues with taxes and other debts, yes, privatization can help you, but it's definitely a different administrative process that you have to complete when you're going to do something retroactively. Okay. So that's really important to understand. Okay. So it says, but we can show you how to take more preventative measures to correct how you incur these things from the very beginning. And that's going to be important, because when we have preventative measures already in place, when you privatize, the only thing you'll need to do at that point is train. Okay. The only thing you have to do is train yourself about how to use the administrative setup or the administrative system that you've designed for your governance. Okay. And so this, I want to say that the information I'm giving you is only going to be for people who understand the language of privatization. For people who do not understand the language of privatization, there will be another video for you. Okay. So when that other video comes out, just be looking for more things about how you can understand privatization and what it means for you to fall into this private sort of governing system, okay? Because it is designed and crafted by you. How can I still do this if I don't have time to learn all this information? So, of course, like anything that's complex, you're going to have to spend time focusing on the study. You're going to have to spend time investing in what makes you successful in that study or in that practice. But if you don't have time to do that, it's just like anything else you don't have time for. You hire someone. Okay. So we're happy to be the consultants for you if you don't have the time to execute these processes and to get your information in a place where it makes sense. Okay. So if you don't have that already in a working condition, okay, because you and I understand if we're doing privatization, there are a lot of things that we understand in concept, but we have not implemented in our working, functioning lives. All right, so if we're at a place where this is the case, and this is probably always the case, we can use services and service providers to get us to the place where we can function with the training, okay? Not just understanding, but with the training of action, okay? So just hire someone. And there are service providers all over the place, but I'm doing this so that you can understand how different, okay? How different our firm is. we have a quite a different approach to how we're providing these services. It's highly customizable, and we're giving you the opportunity to tell us what you need right now. Everything that's available to you is not everything you need. It's just like saying right now you need a personal injury lawyer, but you don't need a divorce attorney. Okay. You might need a child protective services help, but you don't necessarily need any help with your driver's license or your passport. You understand? So we're different because we're not just dumping a whole discipline of study on you. We're going to ask you, what is it that you're looking for right now? Allow us to design something for you so that we can train you specific to your needs. All right. So how do I stop having take it? Oh, excuse me. Wait a minute. Did I miss one? Yes. Okay. I did. I'll skip one. So what makes Serve Incorporated qualified to practice law and legal administration? And a lot of people know this, but a lot of people don't. So we're just going to cover it quickly. Contrary to popular belief, no one has to be licensed to practice law. You guys, this is something that is just as natural as you and I having a conversation about the truth. People have the right to represent themselves and to appoint a power of attorney to anyone they wish. We are simply acting as your power of attorney to cite and interpret the law in a way that we've been professionally trained to. And when I say professionally trained, I mean, when I worked for the Internal Revenue Service, the very first thing that happened is I was taught and trained professionally how to interpret legal jargon, how to interpret legal code. And because I got that training, and also coupled with that, I was also trained on how to do claims processing and how to do these checking of the citations, making sure that the citations are correct and that they are appropriate for the claim that was submitted. These are the professional trainings that I got for 8 years working with the Internal Revenue Service. And so I'm using that training to pass on this knowledge to you guys, because working for the Internal Revenue Service is something that many people sort of take for granted if they actually work there. They may not be studying the laws, but I was a person who actually studied the law. I was a person who actually took my training and applied it to my own private applications of legal study. Okay, so working in that capacity definitely gives me a bit of a heightened level of understanding about how to go about doing these filings and where, you know, how to structure your strategy. Okay. So the next question is, how do I stop having taxes taken out of my check? Now, this is something that everybody wants to know. Everybody wants to know, how do I take the taxes out of my check? How do I get them to stop taking it? So one of the key things I want you to remember and understand about involuntary deductions, this is done by contract. Everything we do with our paycheck, it's done by consent. Okay, we have to give voluntary consent in order for things to happen. But when you look at your income tax or the withholdings of your income tax, what is it described as? It is described as an involuntary deduction. Okay, this is something that they're telling you it's involuntary because they're telling you that you're required to do it, right? But what is an involuntary anything, an involuntary act in terms of contracts? If you're talking about the terms of a contract, then an involuntary action means that your contract has now become null and void. So when we are looking at income tax, and that's just a very basic level of explanation, but when you're talking about the contracts that you have to enter to have these deductions taken out, you have to know and understand that anything that's involuntary, as far as a contract is concerned, it is not binding. You're not making a binding agreement if you're doing it involuntarily, or if you're under duress or some type of threat of violence or retaliation. Okay. So understanding that, it puts us into a different perspective, at least one different perspective, about what the income tax is and how we can stop it from being taken out. So I'm going to just read this to you to make sure that you have this in your head as well. Essentially, you have to use administrative strategies to compel your employer to make lawful changes on your payroll processing. Okay, you can do that by two channels. You can contact your employer. You can also contact the payroll provider if your employer is using a payroll provider. If not, you'll only be able to deal with the employer themselves. All right. So in order to make those changes, that's what you're going to need to do. All right. So you definitely need to be careful about the at-will hiring conditions of every state. Every applicable state is going to let you know if they are at will or not. some states will have certain laws that they will acknowledge if they have violated your rights in the pursuance of their at-will ability to hire or fire you. But there are several states who do not have that same exception. Some states don't care at all if they're going to violate your rights. They're just going to violate your rights, and that's going to be it for you. Okay, so we're giving you guidance about how to protect yourself when it comes to you kind of raising these sort of challenges to your payroll company or to your payroll system whenever you're telling them, listen, I don't want you to take out any more taxes. And it becomes complicated for one reason and one reason only. These companies, especially your employer, if you're non-government, they are in a position where they assume, or they really believe that they are at some kind of, that they have an obligation or that they have an authority. And this is extremely important because they have neither, okay? They have neither. When it comes to your income taxes being taken out of your check, your job has zero authority to do so, and they also have zero obligation to do so. So in the matters of a contract where there is no authority and there is no obligation, once again, you have something that is null and void unless you're volunteering for it, okay? So you're going to need to remember that having the taxes taken out of your check is really more so about you understanding why it's being taken out in the first place. There's a false assumption there, and it needs to be corrected carefully in order for you to have your income taxes restored back to your gross pay. All right, so there's another question we get pretty often in our office, which is about child protection services in different states. So every state has maybe slightly different laws or codes in effect. So for each person who has a child protective order, or they have some sort of challenging issue with CPS, we do have to look at the jurisdiction of the state. We have to look at the specific laws of the state when they issue certain statutes or they issue certain laws or legislation. We have to look at what that means, because we could probably use a will to do as a part of your estate planning, or a trust as a part of your will, to give yourself proper jurisdiction over your biological property, which is your children. And so once we do that, it could help you, but it also depends on the mitigating circumstances or the things that are surrounding the case that would make it something that could or could not be within our wheelhouse to assist. All right, so we have certain specialties, and we can provide certain specialties up to a certain point. But again, if the state has a claim of jurisdiction, it may not be something that we can actually stop from happening. But of course, we would want to see that and see what are the details before we determine what it is. Okay, so the next question says, I keep seeing people being let go with just a warning after they've been stopped by a police officer and in a traffic violation. How are they able to do that? This is very simple, because in privatization, a large part of your freedom is about how you communicate your freedom. It's about how you're able to express the fact that you're fully aware of your standing as a private citizen and how you do not need to disclose information because you have a right to remain silent. And there is nobody that can pressure you, or no one who can lawfully force you to speak if you don't want to speak. So, or if you don't know how to speak. So the answer to this question is, these people are simply communicating. Okay. They're communicating the actual law to the police officers, and they're not just generally accepting the rules that people think they have to follow. They're trained to speak using correct interpretations of the law, and they can articulate the fullness of it if they are challenged, okay? If anybody challenges them, they know how to get to the fullness of the expression of the law. They don't just know a little piece that they're regurgitating from something, but they actually have studied, they have actually comprehended, and they have retained the information necessary for them to be able to communicate. And so essentially our training is here to prepare you to do the same thing, because we want you to be able to communicate your rights and to communicate what it is that you're doing with your administrative process and your administrative governing. Okay. So next question, why should I have several businesses organized even if I don't want to become an entrepreneur or a business developer? This question gets very deep on a deep end, but I'm going to stay on the shallow end for you because I'm going to just use the answer that I provided. Having a business entity is a proper way to govern your own life to make the federal government obsolete. And this is for business and for individuals, okay? When you have your own systems of governing established, it makes the federal government obsolete, because why would you need a third party or intermediate governing system if you've already got an original one for yourself, right? All right, so your actual life is literally your business. The way you administrate that makes all the difference to how you can operate privately or under the governing of false jurisdiction. Okay, so when it comes to you issuing currency, okay, whenever you're giving your energy to your job, this is your currency. This is your intellectual property. It's your energy. It is your physical manual labor. And so we have to respect the fact that no matter what type of job you have, these are the things that you're selling. These are your goods and your services that you're selling. That makes you a business person. If you have to sell yourself on your resume, is that not you working for yourself, the business of yourself? If you're going to them and they give you an employment contract, is that not a contract? Are you not a contractor when you're selling your intellectual property, you're selling your energy, and you're being compensated a certain currency for that? Absolutely. This information must be applied. It must be applied according to its intended interpretation. So we're just giving you these codes so that you understand what the language is intending for you to do in your actions or your implementing of the code. Okay. So as a individual, we're teaching you how you can operate as an individual, not necessarily having an enterprise or an organization, but just simply having a structure for the way you sell your own goods and services, which is your intellectual property, your energy, and your time, and certain things that establish your wealth. All right. So why should I hire anyone to help me with compliance after I've completed the process of privatizing my assets? Or it says, who should I hire? It says anyone who demonstrates an ability to interpret the language of legalese and can represent you using direct legal references that they can explain to you in layman's terms. We're here to demonstrate for you, okay? Demonstrate that for you and consider our service to do so. So basically, when you're hiring a privatization service, a lot of them are simply going to give you a template and they're going to tell you, just go and fill this out, file it with this person, and that's going to be it. They give you maybe some light training, but you mostly walk away from it not knowing what the hell you're doing, not knowing where to go from here, not knowing how to really articulate yourself in the way that you want to, you know, with that certain level of confidence. So this training is really designed to make sure that, like I said, you're doing a slower, steadier learning that incorporates what you need at the moment. So if we know what you need right now, then we'll be able to design a training for you that gives you that foundational understanding. And then as time goes on and you acquire or you require new things, then we'll just help you to build on your education as time goes along. All right. So how do you know if you're qualified for the privatization process to stop your payroll or your payroll exemptions, or how do you activate those things? So all legal and lawful persons qualify for our service, with the exception of those who are employed by the United States government. Okay. The United States government employees are not, and I repeat, if you work for the government, you are not eligible for privatization services, because by definition, an employee is a person who is employed by the United States government or a corporation that is controlled by a government corporation. Okay. And y'all excuse me for applying my makeup here, but my lips. So if you understand that the government defines its own terms, the government. And so I want you guys to pick up a book. It's called Shattering the Myth. Okay. It's called Shattering the Myth of Income Tax, or I should say Income Tax Shattering the Myth by Dave Champion. I want you to go on his YouTube channel, which I don't remember the name of his channel. Dr. Reality. That's the name of his channel. I'm sorry. Dr. Reality. Go pick up that book and allow him to school you about definitions. Another book I'm reading which I'm open right now to the definitions page. This is by a young woman named Shaquan Envy, and she has a small pamphlet out for her courses that she's teaching about credit repair fraud, talking about consumer protection laws. Okay, and so these things are only applicable, okay? Listen, because the employee definition only applies according to federal definition, okay? The federal government has defined an employee as only a person who can maintain, or excuse me, who is an employee of the federal government under official business. I wish I could look up this precise definition for you. I don't want to do that because then I'm going to take too much time. But when you look up these definitions, it will tell you that an employee is a person who works for the government. So because you would be an employee of the government, that would disqualify you for privatization because these things would not make you exempt. Okay. So does Serve Incorporated handle the whole process of privatization? This is an important question to answer because a lot of people in who are seeking after privatization don't really understand like the fullness. Okay. Like I said, this is something where everybody has, there are different specialties that can be obtained or acquired in the whole privatization world, because from every legal discipline, there is a public and a private section of those laws, or public and private interpretation, for me to put that more accurately. There is a public and a private interpretation of every type of law. So there is no necessarily whole process. Again, it's about what you need. It's about what you intend to do. It's about how you intend to move. Okay. Some people like to enter and exit the public and private as they see fit. Some people like to strictly stay private. Some people don't even know anything about being private. So they're just like, I don't know what to do. I'm going to just keep learning until something clicks and I'm able to take action. So to read the answer, it says yes and no. And that's the best summary. Okay. Short summary that we can give you. Yes, in a sense that we can fully prepare and train you to learn how to correctly interpret and administrate law, but no, in a sense that you must be able to execute the process on your end as well. You have to be involved in knowing what you want. You have to be involved in knowing how you want to move. You have to be involved in knowing what pertains to you. What is, you know, what kind of options do you have? You must be aware of these things in order to design your whole process. And then once you have a whole process, then we can help you to understand about how to administrate that process privately. Okay. And that's what your good service providers are going to do. Some service providers right now, they're going to just dump a bunch of templates on you and they're going to tell you, listen, just go out here and do this way. And that's just not, we're not here for that. Not here for that. That's not going to work. It doesn't get us anywhere when we're all sitting here circulating around the same templates, trying to figure out what to do with them. So I'm here to tell you that once we have assisted you with the creation of your private path, then we can help you with administrating your private path. Okay. And that's what's special about Serve Incorporated. We're here to serve you. Okay. We're here to serve you. And we're not just going to dump off a whole bunch of information on you and tell you, well, it's on you to understand and study. We understand most of y'all got jobs where you're working very long hours. You have children, you have, financial setbacks and challenges where you're not able to access all this information or all the training. I don't even know how much money I've spent in buying templates and buying training courses. And a lot of it just didn't click. It just didn't make what I needed. It didn't make where I was at make sense. And it's no shade to anybody who I graciously and gratefully have paid for their knowledge. But sometimes you do need more hands-on guidance and more hands-on training about how these things should be done and how they should be implemented and how they should be administrated. Okay. So creating claims, making affidavits, knowing the administrative process, all of that is what we're here to give you guidance on. Okay. So it says after you've been trained, you will continue to live Okay. And you're going to have to file whatever documents you need to file to actually accomplish those goals. If you need assistance at that time, like if one day you need a divorce attorney, one day you need an injury attorney, one day you need this kind of, you know, attorney, it just, as you live your life, call us. And if you need something, we will help you with the same type of assistance that you would get from any other firm of consultants. Okay. So it says here on this question, will this make me subject to increased police surveillance or arrest? I recently watched the story of my sister, my auntie, Sherry Peel Jackson, who is another ex-IRS agent. And she actually was arrested for 4 years, or I think 3 years, that she did in a penitentiary on a misdemeanor charge because she was implementing and teaching these concepts. And so I want to just tell you right now, we're in a different climate, because when Sherry Peel Jackson, bless her soul for going through what she did and making that sacrifice so that we could know something, that she could be a whistleblower, probably one of the first of her kind of her time, she was arrested and jailed. And a lot of people do end up going to jail, especially for things like when people are going to jail for mortgage I'm trying to get it in my mind, but y'all know when people do the squatters laws, people are going to jail for that. So these are some of the things that come to mind, but when people first hear about privatization or sovereign citizens, such and such. So I want to put to rest that, you know, when you have these things happening, it's going to draw attention to you if you're drawing attention to yourself. But you're not just going to get arrested or do anything, or, you know, you're just filing documents according to the claims processing language that's used in their manual. So, or in their code of law. So there is only a risk where a risk is created. If a risk is not created, then you have nothing to worry about. You're simply filing claims and enforcing codes that have been written by the people that you're submitting the claim to. So no, I don't think that we need to worry about that. We just simply need to worry about making sure we know the law. And that will basically mitigate everything else. So I'm going to tell you guys to go to servebossinc.com. That's S-E-R-V-B-O-S-S-I-N-C to see this, the rest of this frequently asked questions page. And then also to reach out to me. We have a contact page, which is here. Simply come to our contact page if you have questions, if you want to reach out. There's our toll-free number, my email address if you want to reach me. I'm Reese Roberts. These are ours. And you simply write in here your name and information, and we'll be happy to get back with you. We have a team of consultants that specialize in different things. And so let me just show you really quickly what those things look like, because we do have another... I'm sorry, some of you, if you're not on Facebook, or excuse me, if you're not on YouTube, you probably can't see what I'm doing, but you'll be able to see it if you go to YouTube. We are ServBoss on YouTube. So I want you guys to see some of the different services that we are offering. So in this package, as you can see, we have different things. We're helping you with correspondence, power of attorney representation, payroll representation, claim support, divorce support, eviction, passport and travel, citations, utilities, municipal claims and administration, all these things. So if you're curious and you want to read over this, send us an email and we'll get you a brochure. Oh, shit. My bad, you guys. My phone just went dead while I was in the middle of recording. But nonetheless, I want you guys to see that, because it is extremely important for you to be able to access this information. So simply send us a contact and we'll be happy to get that information out to you. Send us your email on any platform that you can find us, and we'll be able to get you that information out. Okay. So thank you guys for joining the Spirit of Business. And we're definitely going to be talking more about these concepts every day. I'm going to be on here going live with you guys to make sure that you are here and present to talk about the underlying concepts about the privatization whole entire world, the things that go into the study, the things that go into applications, the things that go into execution. We're going to talk about the entire thing. We're going to talk about specific materials that I use to study this language and this knowledge, and just how I've been able to pair my professional training with this self-guided education. Okay. So it's been a real pleasure having you guys. I do hope to see you back. And again, every day you should be looking for a new video from me talking about these specific, areas of privatization and how we're going to make sense of all this. All right. So it's been real. I will be back tomorrow. And I don't know what we're going to talk about tomorrow. I think what we're going to do is probably crack open this book and talk about some of these concepts that are in Dave Champion's book about shattering the myths of the income tax. So I look forward to having you guys here. I do hope that you'll order this book and that you will go through it. I took specific interest in the tips that he gives on employment and income tax, but we will go over some of the other things, like, for example, the IRS responses that people are getting when they are challenging the direct tax coming out of their check. Okay. So anyway, again, come back here tomorrow. Make sure you follow, like, subscribe. What else do I need to say? Follow, like, subscribe. Y'all know what to do. Find all those little buttons. Click them, please, so I don't have to beg. Please don't make me beg. But I would like to see you guys share this content and make sure that it gets out there, because we're literally doing everything we possibly can to make you guys understand how to implement these things for yourself. And also, if you need help, how to hire us so that we can represent you in situations where you may not be able to represent yourself. Okay. Much peace and love, you guys. Please make, offerings and sacrifices to your ancestors, because we need their help and we want you guys to be active in this lifestyle. Okay. It's something you're definitely going to have to galvanize every bit of strength that you have to make this make sense. All right. So I love you. I really hope that you guys will subscribe and become a part of this movement to educate the masses about things that are hidden in the law. All right. Much peace and love.